The following program is rated M for mature and not intended for audiences under the age of 17. It is also presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This spring, NSN brings you the most heartfelt sitcom of a generation.
Now kids, settle down and I'll teach you the secret of good cooking. You need two things. One, nonstick cookware. Two, lots of good, moist, tenderizing loving.
With all their family coming to live together under one roof due to the economic recession, stress is high, and the Night Horse household is bursting at the seams.
It's my turn to play with the funny back massager.
No, it's my turn to play with it.
Mine!
No, mine!
Where did you get that from, kids? That's your aunt's, and I think it needs to be washed.
I need a stiff drink and a stiffer back massage.
But through frustration comes purpose, and through hardship, they discover what they never lost in the first place, their love.
Why did you do that? Why do you keep shutting me out? All I want to do is be there for you!
I know, but I can't control my gaming fix, and I don't want to let you in on that pain. You're already suffering enough.
We suffer together! That's what being a family means!
Every Wednesday at 8 p.m., bring your family to meet ours and laugh your way through the tears. You may just leave with more in your head and more in your heart.
I'm sorry I put your Game Boy in the toilet.
I'm sorry I shaved my crotch on your toothbrush. Wait! You did what to my Game Boy?
Keep it down, you youngins. Grandma can't hear the latest Glenn Miller from the Squawky Box.
Can we put her in the home yet?
She already is home. Our home.
Keep up with the Night Horse family on Friday Night Fanfiction, a family-friendly romp for friends and family of all ages.
Warning, show is rated NC-17 for reasons that will become increasingly obvious with every passing minute of listening. Not for families, ever.
So this is why you're not supposed to go away, because our conversation goes way off the rails.
I thought when I'm here, it goes off the rails like a crazy train. Also, I hear you still have the TV on, David. David, can you put your headset on?
Yeah, but you gotta give me a second.
One.
You should have done it already, man.
And he uses that 1 second to escape to Utah. Because everybody knows there is literally nothing in Utah.
Hey, that's not true. There's lots of nice...
Can you name one thing in Utah besides a capital city?
Zion National Park is pretty nice.
Damn. I also would have taken the Utah Jazz because I know them as a basketball team.
Hashtag Fallout alumni. Am I right, Logan?
Yeah, got him.
All right, anyways, this is Friday Night Fan Fiction, and we're missing a host and a guest tonight. That's great.
It's the cure for what ails you, at least in Utah.
Speaking of ale, I'm going to be drinking Brown Jug Bourbon Cream with a hint of maple.
I drank last night, so I'm probably not going to drink tonight.
Why did you drink last night?
I wanted to drink last night. Me and Judy were celebrating.
You got married like a week ago. What were you celebrating?
Yeah, well, drunk night.
Got him.
That's a thing? Drunk night is a thing.
They were
now?
Celebrating Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. That is exactly what we were celebrating.
Celebrating the release of Disgaea 5 on the Switch, which is a platform he doesn't even have.
I already have Disgaea 5 anyway.
Is it good?
No. I mean, it's Disgaea, but...
But no? Like, do go on. I'm curious.
I don't actually have it.
I was hoping you were going to follow
it up, but you called me on my shenanigans.
That's what I do. So this is Friday Night Fan Fiction. I am Steve-O. Joining me are hosts David, Logan, Sean, and guest Sir Splee.
Hi.
My name is Liar.
Liar Exaggerate.
Oh, yes. Liar X Adjurate.
I thought you didn't like Earthbound jokes.
I don't know. I don't like Earthbound. But
what game
like
are you
jokes.
Playing right now that you are so distracted?
Google Chrome browser.
Are you looking up porn?
Not anymore.
Okay, then. Tonight we are reading three stories. Hopefully we can get through them all. We're going to start with, first I have to start by sharing this with everybody so I don't get 1,000 emails saying, has requested access to this document. This is Twilight Tinkle, a My Little Pony fanfic by Grass Dragon, a dedicated fan.
This has got pee in it. I don't want to pee in
it. I don't know. I haven't read it,
Dave. I am sure that somewhere in there, there's the letter P.
Yeah.
Oh, ha, Logan. Oh, ha.
Okay.
Because P is for Pinkie Pie.
Also, my sister is such a poser.
How? I thought your sister was cool.
Yeah, but she's still a poser. Anytime a world tragedy happens, she changes her fucking Facebook picture. I'm like, come on, man. You're not doing anything to help.
I mean, it's better than not acknowledging that it's happening, which a lot of people are doing.
I could come up with a lot of tasteless jokes right now, but I'm not going to.
Well, for instance,
unflavored tofu.
Tasteless. I'm going to fucking ban all of you from this chat.
You don't have the power to do that anymore, Logan. I took that away.
Tap water. That's also tasteless.
It depends where you live. Flint, Michigan probably has really zipping tap water.
Also, doesn't Florida have swamp water? Tap water?
Florida does have swamp water. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, we have swamp water, but we take our water out of freaking aquifers, and then that's how sinkholes happen.
That's what you call swamps.
Yes.
Well, no, an aquifer is underground
water, Logan.
No, it's water that has fur.
Underground water is called everywhere else. It's called a swamp.
What? No, was that joke too much for you, Dave?
In a fucking cavern.
Yes. It's like one of those, full mouth furry bass or bass, however you want to pronounce it.
Furry bass?
Yes.
That sounds like a horrible fish.
It's one of them
horrible fish.mp3.
Isn't it one of those things that people have been claiming exist for like ever, but does everyone see a cryptid? That's what it is. A fucking cryptid. Oh,
would it cause problems with the file if you were to name this episode furryfish.mp3?
Maybe, actually.
Would it be furryfish.mp3.mp3?
But honest, that would work. I mean, it's redundant, but it's not going to fuck around with anything. It would be weird if you had it furryfish.mp3.flac or .m4a.
Do it. Make it happen.
Be all you can be in the United States Army.
Some quotation marks in there.
All right, this is Twilight Tinkle, and first up is me being refereed by Logan.
There's no way this isn't about P.
Twilight Tinkle, a My Little Pony fanfic by Grass Dragon. Summary.
Yes, Jim, I do actually know what the difference between an aquifer and a swamp is. Thank you. It's called jokes.
Could you put the difference between talk and comedy now in the Wikipedia?
Talk. The act of using words from your mouth face.
Summary. A blast from the past teaches Twilight Sparkle that friendship means sharing your childish problems, and Rarity learns an important lesson about herself. Rarity, the fashionista pony, approached the front door of her close friend Twilight Sparkle, a collection of her finest dresses slung across her back like the world's most colorful saddle. As soon as she drew close, she paused to unfurl the other pony's letter and read it one last time. Oh, this is like the beginning of one of those point-and-click adventures. Dear Rarity, I have urgent need of you. Please come around with the longest dresses you have as soon as possible. Twilight Sparkle. I almost read that as Tony Starkle.
Tony Starkle.
Tony Starkle, the rocket pony.
Yes.
The parchment bore the unmistakable scribbles of Twilight's levitating quill and smelled faintly of bleach.
What?
The anime?
No, as in like the It's Water and We Are Water, therefore we are bleach. Something was amiss.
Bleach is like 90% water, and we're also 90% water, therefore we are bleach.
Thank you.
So drink this murder face.
I need to finish watching all the Metalocalypse I haven't seen. Something was amiss, and she was going to get to the bottom of it and help her friend out. Three short knocks were answered by a short silence before a muffled feminine voice asked, "Who is it?" meekly through the wood. "Why, it is only the one and only Rarity, bearing a rich bounty of petticoats and frills for a very special purple pony." 17 different locks and bolts rapidly opened, and the door creaked open just wide enough for a pony to squeeze through. "Quickly, before anybody sees!" Rarity sighed and forced her way inside, making sure not to damage any of her inventory. Next up is David being refereed by Sean. Next up is David being refereed.
I heard you.
David, there is a request for you in the chat.
Yeah, I saw, but I don't have anything in front of me that I can read. So it sounds to me like chat should give me something to read.
No,
he literally posted War of Attrition in chat for you to read.
On top of that, Sean already posted the other thing for you to read because you didn't open it when we posted it.
Actually, no, I have it right here. I'm on page 3. I see the Alabaster Pony said.
You're on page 2.
I'm not.
You're on page 2.
Yes, you are.
Oh, well, once inside, the War of Attrition.
He's
Arabic,
not even trying anymore. Not
Hebrew,
even fucking trying.
Involved fighting between Israel and Egypt, Jordan, PLO, and their allies from 1967 to 1970, spanning two decades.
David, can you read the actual story, please?
Yeah, man. Israel's victory in the Six-Day War.
That's not the real story, Dave.
That's what it just says. It's where it starts.
David, open the damn story.
Okay, fine. Once inside, the door sealed back shut
again. Thank you.
A collection of shackled and boards were also applied in quick order.
See, now I do want to know more about Israel and the War of Attrition.
Rarity blinked in the darkness, adjusting to the lack of light. July 1st, 1967, Egyptian commando force from Port Fouad moves south and takes up position in Ras Alish, located 10 miles south of Port Said in the eastern bank of the Suez Canal, an area controlled by Israelis since the ceasefire on June 9th, 1967.
I honestly thought that was part of the story. I had to look back over and check.
Yes, Suez. I did say that, Tim Sue. Suez Canal. The Suez Canal. Let's see.
"Well now, darling, and just what has it been scrambling across half of the quest?"
She boggled as she caught sight of Twilight Sparkle before collapsing the floor in a fit of giggles. Dwight-like Sprinkles blushed indignantly.
Sparkle!
No,
it's Dwight-like Sprinkles.
That's not... although that is the name of my next indie band, that is not what is written.
Dwight-like Sprinkles blushed indignantly, disappointed in her friend's reaction. "I mean, it's perfectly natural for grown mares to wear a big, fluffy, white diaper."
Well, I mean, incontinence is something that happens to everyone, Dave. Young and old, male and female, tall and short, lesbian or not.
Yeah.
Is it a lesbian or the other one?
No, I'm good. I'll see you guys later.
Come back. You're not. Nope. Nope.
I have no idea what the hell I missed.
It's okay.
Well, you didn't think I was actually going to leave, did you?
I didn't think after you just said that you needed me to forward you an advance on booze for when we read My Immortal, which, by the way, cut the track, rewind it. My Immortal reread is going to be Saturday, June 10th at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. Anybody who's anybody wants to come in and read a section, you are more than welcome to hang out with us.
12 noon on a Saturday, I'm going to be working.
It
sounds to me like you got to get a better job, man. Monster.com.
ZipRecruiter.
Fucking Robert Half Government Solutions.
Unfortunately, there's no other time that can work. That Sunday is a birthday celebration with my family. Throughout the weeks for the next weeks, like, I have stuff going on at work. So, and then I have a wedding to go to the next weekend. It's impossible to find a date that pleases everybody. So as opposed to perpetually pushing it off because we want to read it, we'll just get it done. If you want, I'll give you a paragraph or two you can read on your own, and I'll pump it in post.
"Yar, beware of the siren song, lad. 'Tis said to be a melody most sweet to men's ear."
We will be recording until it's
dick.
Done.
"Looks like this is the end, lad."
What are you even reading?
It's a comic about the siren's call.
Stop
and all the
reading
sirens.
That shit and read the damn fanfic.
Before he goes back to reading, I will say we're going to be reading until it's done, estimating between 4 and 6 hours. Now you can continue reading.
David?
What? I can't do this. I already, like,
you're just talking about diapers, Dave!
No. And so she waited until Rarity could finally stop the cavalcade of mirth that flowed like a mighty waterfall, perfectly underscoring the fact that there's going to be pee in this later. Actually, best not to think about waterfalls. Goddamn, the author is self-aware. Fuck.
Well, it's because the author is somebody who listens to our show, so are you surprised?
No.
Good.
David, stop.
Or fountains. Off. Or any bodies of water, moving water for that matter. A powerful blush burned itself into her skin, the red mixing with her natural purple to turn her into a living, breathing beetroot. I was going to read that as beetroot, but beetroot. A beetroot. It's the cousin of Groot.
But it's a bee. Also a trout.
But yeah, it's also just
it's B-movie. A flying fish.
It's Groot, but it's B-movie.
No.
Every time he says, "I am Groot," the entire B-movie plays.
No.
You know what? I have a project.
I'm voting against this. That is an egregious abuse of your Sony Vegas powers. No, but please read so Logan can get his chance to read.
I feel like that video would take so long to render that David wouldn't even bother.
No, I got it. Rarity regained her composure and stood up, but still far too long for Twilight's burning face.
I'm sorry, darling. This is not a new experience for me. If I had known you were play-acting young, I would have brought over my little fancy foil collection.
This is serious, this is serious, Roger.
Twilight chided.
I didn't know what you were going for at first. I'm glad you settled on something.
Did a complete circle around her taking it all in. I've been cast now.
The curse put a diaper on you.
Rarity was confused, rubbing Twilight's diaper with a forehoof. Gross. It sunk into the thick padding, crinkling softly. Some
people would love a curse like that.
No. I'm having to wear this diaper because, well, I can't hold it all in. I have to go, like, all the time.
Wow, so Bane had incontinence, and that was the whole reason why he was angry at humanity.
Because he had to wee.
Of course he had incontinence. He had one of those disorders where he poops out of his mouth, so he had to wear it on his mouth.
I think we call that disorder being a politician.
Got him.
Next up is Logan being refereed by David.
I see.
Yes.
The alabaster pony said, craning her neck to check.
Wait, why is Rarity now Bane?
Everyone's Bane.
Everyone's.
Okay, cool. I'm with it. Let's do it.
To check Twilight out between the hind legs.
And you're thinking of using my dresses to hide your shame, which means you've got both style and taste.
It's awful taste, but it's a thing.
But was it absolutely necessary to acquire ones that are so... I mean, it's going to be difficult finding a dress that'll hold it all in. People are going to
grab their cameras and take pictures.
I know. Twilight cut her off, hanging her head in shame. It's the padding. I tried smaller brands, but all of them, well, I leaked.
Yeah.
Rarity let that sink in before drawing herself back and facing her purple friend face to face.
Indeed, that sounds like a most undignified situation. The complete opposite of ladylike, in fact. But pray tell, Twilight, how in all of Equestria did you find a curse such as this?
Well, I opened an email from my spam folder that told me I needed to forward this to 10 friends, otherwise I have to pee all the time. You can figure out the rest.
And Twilight levitated an envelope over from a side table, pulling out and unfolding a gold-bordered letter in fine green paper.
What?
Oh my god, Steve, you're right. Oh my god, Steve, you're fucking right.
Don't read it. Reading. It's a reading curse.
Shit.
To whomever reads this cursed writ, acquire a bladder that will not quit. Whoever reads this curse must cool. Be cursed with a bladder that's always full. What?
whoever reads this curse must cool?
Most cool. As most in, the curse cool. Itself is pretty damn cool, like wearing shades and going down the beach on a skateboard cool.
What is so cool about having an endless stream of piss come out of you forever?
He's not saying
you
that...
wear super cool diapers, obviously.
It is not that what the curse does is cool, it's that the curse itself, the fine, you know, green paper with gold border, which is probably just solidified pee, you know, kind of look.
It's funny that you got it right in one and said it was a spam email. Doesn't even rhyme. How lazy, Rarity huffed. Utterly disgraceful. That sounds like a work of Trixie if I've ever heard it. Shouldn't be too hard to undo. Have you considered removing the curse by magic? I tried my own magic, but it just made me go all over the floor. Then Spike told me to try diapers because he's getting sick of mopping up after me. Not like I could just use magic to clean it up. I'm not a very intelligent pony.
Or even better, this toilet is my home now. Welcome to my home.
He's stuck on diaper duty now.
God damn it, Spike.
Rarity didn't want to hear any of this. Not least of all because it was reminding her of exactly how long it had been since she'd relieved herself. Quite smart boy, that dragon. Oh, sorry. There should have been a pause there. Quite smart boy, that dragon.
Next up is Sir Splee being refereed by me.
Oh, boy. Well, then, it's a good thing I already opened up this beer. Friggin' Sierra Nevada. Anyway.
Aren't you 12?
I'm 21, Logan.
Yeah, Logan, 12? He can't be younger than you.
Everyone's younger than me.
A list of Pakistani poets. Abbas Rivzi. Agha Shorish Kamiri.
David, please let Sir Splee read.
Come on, it's my turn to read, David. It's going to be a long one anyway, so, you
Abid
know.
Abid Ali Abid.
Anyway, without further delay, P4.
Ahmad Ali.
P. Anyway. Well, if I can take the curse off of you here and now, then you won't need to wear diapers, and I won't have to lend you some of my dresses. That would be quite marvelous for both of us, especially my poor dresses. Why did the page start with a quotation? Never mind.
That's just where the page breaks are, man.
Several minutes later, and everything was set up in Twilight Sparkle's library. Rarity had drawn several arcane circles on the floor with chalk, and the diapered Twilight stood in the middle awkwardly.
I'm just getting a mental image of that one scene from Doom 3 with the guy being disemboweled, and then it's just... There's a pony off to the side smiling, chalk in hand, or chalk in hoof.
Disemboweled.
Someone's gonna lose an arm and a leg if they're not careful.
Nearly done, Twilight. Just hold still and I'll rip that curse off you like Pinkie Pie pulling off pink panties. Only more glamorous, of course.
Of course, she said, not thinking about...
She tried.
Of course, she tried not to think about how soaked her diaper
just
was.
Just how
going.
Soaked.
Just how soaked her diaper was going to be in a minute, legs already starting to fidget and shake as her bladder reached to a moist maximum.
It's moist maximum.
It's moist maximum. Suddenly, everything went dark, save for a blue glow coming out of Rarity's eyes and horn. A bolt of arcane energy, twisting and forking like frozen lightning, arced from her to Twilight's diaper, which glowed bright pink.
That's how you get a yeast infection.
Curse! I command you broken, seals destroyed, wards unwound. You are the ugliest thing I have ever encountered, and I refuse to let you shame my friend. Be gone!
Also, Curse, you're stupid and you smell bad.
Okay. The pink of the curse seeped into Rarity's arcane bolt, then flowed across the entirety of it and struck the white pony with a loud and playful pop. Suddenly, the room was bathed in light again. Did it work? Twilight asked hopefully, breaking the silence. She didn't feel any different, just embarrassed and in desperate need of a change.
Next up is Sean being refereed by me.
Rarity let out a pained sigh.
Sigh.
Shut as her defeat started to gush from between her shaking hind legs and soak into the carpet.
That's not defeat, that's pee!
She looked like she was going to faint from the shock of it.
Hey, have you ever been standing up, taking a long piss, and just fainted? Like,
yes.
Really?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, that sounds like
just
a medical disorder.
The joke. It is a medical disorder.
Just then, Twilight felt the familiar need, the sinking feeling of her own bladder starting to fill up again, demanding to be released here and now.
Spike? She called out sheepishly. Can you come here a moment?
No, fuck you! I'm tired of cleaning up your piss!
A loud sigh echoed through the house and into the room, the smallest dragon expressing his disappointment.
Did you leak again, Twilight? You need to go get this curse removed. I'm not going to keep playing diaper nurse. I'm never going to get the smell out.
We already had a potty emergency, and the carpet is ruined.
Spike was suddenly there, kitted out with a bucket, mop,
with buckets.
Shit.
No, it's with... Wait, never mind.
You take a drink for reading it wrong.
Kitted out with bucket, mop, sponges, and a heavy shoulder bag containing a complete adult full changing kit.
You should have said so sooner.
Spike, I'm going to go potty, but when I get back, you'll need to diaper me and Rarity. We're going out to end this.
We're going to go out to Don Pablo's.
Wait, why does he have to diaper Rarity?
Because she has the curse now.
Yep.
Oh, great.
This is how you get mono, also the peeing curse.
Also, do you find it quite hilarious that Spike was so upfront with, hey, I'll help Rarity. I'll help clean up Rarity stuff.
But no, in fact, I wasn't happy about that at all.
Spike waved her off, directing all of his attentions to wiping down Rarity's hind legs with a damp cloth.
There, Rarity. I'll take care of you now that nasty Twilight infected you with her curse.
Wait a minute. They're horses. They're ponies. Why can't they just go in the fucking river?
Because they need to drink.
Okay, I'm going to drink for pointing out plot points.
Man.
I'm going to drink for pointing out plot points.
It's a cartoon, Steve.
This is not a cartoon. There's no diaper ponies in the cartoon.
It's a fanfic of a cartoon.
Can I read?
Also, you're not correct on that one, Logan. Season 2, Pinkie Pie had to babysit two young newborn ponies who came from a mother who had no unicorn or Pegasus heritage, but somehow had, Pegasus and...
No, they had heritage, but it was distant heritage.
Dave, she was fooling around, let's be honest.
She was fooling around.
She was fooling around.
That's gross, Steve.
What were you going
to
say?
I want you, Dave, to put a gun in my mouth and kill me now. Because
no.
Hold on.
That. No, belay that order. It's going to have to wait.
Let me find an image. Give me a second, Logan.
No, I don't want to see that.
No, it's different.
The alabaster pony could only blush as she was lowered tenderly onto the changing mat like a foal. It was a good thing she brought extra dresses.
Smells like lemonade.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Gross. Spike sighed, tried not to be creepy. Not doing a great job with that. He was right, but it was still totally creepy.
Smells like lemonade. Twilight spent her potty break thinking things over and trying to formulate a plan of attack. Trixie was very crafty, but she was also vain, and maybe her pride could be turned against her somehow? She kept getting distracted by what sounded like Rarity giggling in the other room.
Tee-hee, tee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
She must be very ticklish, Twilight mused to herself, as the bucket she was pissing into began to overflow onto the porcelain tiles. Man, that's a lot of pee! For some reason, if I get lost exploring the Amazon, just put that on my memorial plaque. Only in that instance, though, if there's another form of disappearance that doesn't apply. Trixie, it turned out, had her caravan parked on the outskirts of town, and two ponies could make their way there with minimal contact. Twilight insisted on sneaking through the bushes wherever she could, but all that did was ruin her dress. Pulling up, she shared a knowing nod and wink with Rarity, before removing an errant bird's nest from her hair and losing the dress. Okay, I read that right. She knocked on the door, and it was opened by one, the great and powerful Trixie, all capitalized, who promptly exploded with laughter. Kaboom. Twilight waited, partly because of the plan and partly because she was losing concentration from the effort of keeping her bladder shut. Already a blush had started to appear across her cheeks, but she played it off as embarrassment.
There you go, Logan, I found it.
Oh no, now I have
to look
at this.
I'm not gonna look at it.
Guy Fieri slathers barbecue sauce on the bullet. He loads it and puts the gun in his mouth. One last trip, he whispers to flavor down. Also, is that an image of... As a toilet?
Yes.
Toilet sparkle.
I know who it is, but it's just... I like how...
Then the one before that is Twilight Sparkle pissing into a urinal.
Who reacted to eggplant? You know what? Eggplant.
Yes. David,
it was me. I selected eggplant first.
Well done.
Also now there's a pony! Yes, I know. Now get off that floor so I can challenge you like a proper pony. It was only as she started to recover that Rarity smacked her on the head with a lead pipe. That escalated quickly. This is condemned pony origins. I like it. Well, that was easy. Now you take her front legs and I'll handle the rear. Next up is David being refereed by Sean. Who's just adding all the different emoticons? We don't have this many people active in the chat. What is even going on?
What are you talking about? Everybody's here.
Just notice there's the one that spells fart, like,
you know. I'm just going to click yes to everyone. There you go. Wow. We're going to break Discord like this, guys.
All right, so we're at the great and injured Trixie, yeah?
Yes.
The great and injured Trixie came into a dank basement, laying on her back with all four legs held apart by chains and stripes.
Can you hold on? Can you stop the reading for a second? I'm having too much fun watching all these emoticons.
Oh, no, Jesus. Pay attention and read the story. We didn't
David, did you say dank?
I did.
Oh. It's dark.
I know what it is, but it's dank instead.
No, read it right and then drink.
Doe, your reaction was not added because there are too many reactions on this message.
Oh, no!
We have reached peak message.
David, post the image again so they can add more reactions.
Oh, okay. Hold on. There you go, guys. I've always got your back. Hold on. I've got more, by the way. Let me just go and get all of them real quick. Alright, anyway, where was I? Ah, yes, her elaborate robe, also her elaborate robe and wizard hat had been replaced with a too-tight leather corset, which wasn't even the right shade of poiple. Two ponies emerged from the gloom, the white one dressed in skin-tight latex that accentuated her curves. Okay, Twilight said, still diapered. When you offered your basement, I expected, I don't know, maybe more unused dresses.
Okay, can you read that slurring a tiny bit less?
Cut your mic slightly less.
But I don't know. I don't even know what half these things are, but they're making me feel all weird and experimental. Is this a wood workshop? Rarity responded by cracking a whip. She was levitating with her magic. Oh, my dearest Twilight, you simply must let me give you the grand tour sometime. You never know. You just might like it. Trixie whimpered and tried to scream through the ball gag as Twilight mounted her chest against chest and diaper against horse vagina. So, Trixie, nice to see you again. I'm good, apart from a little bladder problem. She was virtually whispering into Trixie's ear as she pressed against the unicorn mare. But you wouldn't happen to know anything about that now, would you? Mm-hmm. Trixie struggled against her restraints, but the chains were too strong, and Twilight was too heavy, and that diaper was already too soaked and getting too wetter by the 2 second.
To the streets.
To the streets. Her eyes bulged wide as it started to leak. Steamy hot pony.
No, you.
Steamy hockey what?
Sorry.
Yeah, steaming hot pony. You gotta drink because you messed up. Pony dribbling onto her crush like a reverse water splash.
So, can you read that again without any words not being understandable by a human being?
Yes, but only because I'm posting a meme.
Okay, now read.
Let that one sink in.
No,
on chat.
I let it sink in 2 inches deep. You can read now.
Steaming hot pony dribbled onto her crotch like a perverse water spurt you.
Water sport, not spurt, although that is implied here. Next up is Logan being refereed by David.
Can at Brushfire say poon if he won't say pootang?
Well, yes. We already have you saying pussy from a previous episode, so I can just...
That didn't happen.
That did
Nobody
happen.
That happen. Yes. No, it didn't. Nobody.
The episode was titled David Says the P Word.
You know what? Have some corn.
As in, like, the band?
No, as in, like, the reaction to my meme that I posted.
Oh, good. Val's home. Val, get in the chat! I need help!
I think she's ready, Rarity, Twilight said. Voice back to normal.
What?
Yeah. With a flash of the ball gag, which a flash the ball gag vanished, just like the diaper's padding was starting to dissolve under the urinary onslaught. I'm sorry, Trixie cried out, music to Twilight's ears. I'm sorry, I just couldn't deal with it. Deal with it more. Deal with what? Trixie asked, pulling back slightly. Sorry, Twilight. God damn, all these fucking pony names are too similar. Pulling back slightly with a confused expression on her face. You, darn it. Trixie grimaced, trying not to think about the current situation going on between her legs. I, that is, the great and powerful Trixie Lulamoon, think you're cute.
Can you say cute in a much more kawaii voice?
Cute!
That wasn't kawaii, but I'll take it anyway.
It is, in fact, kawaii. on account of the fact that kawaii means scary, and you should learn how to say that word properly if you're gonna fucking do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everything went dead quiet, save for the soft crinkling of a diaper well past any usefulness.
I can't post that one.
You think I'm cute? Twilight asked, feeling painfully unsure of herself. She had never been called cute, not even as a foal, and it was making her feel something warm in her chest, heartburn. Well, yes, Trixie replied, trying to look anywhere apart from at Twilight, and started to blush at herself. I mean, you're really bookish, and you've got that purple streak in your hair. And oh gosh darn it, I just can't stop thinking about you.
Was that somebody opening the door to leave?
Yeah, it was me.
No!
I thought if I cursed you, then I couldn't bear to be around you any longer. But you had to be so clever and turn it back on me. In that case, Twilight said, regaining some composure after that knockout blow of revelation, I guess there's only one solution here. Let's make a deal. You remove this curse, and I'll be your girlfriend.
Thank God.
Oh boy, elementary school relationships were filled with taut negotiations. Next up is Sir Splee being refereed by me.
Oh boy, I don't have enough beer for this. All right. You would do that for me?
No.
Trixie asked.
No.
Trixie asked in disbelief, fondly meeting Twilight's gaze.
The audience doesn't believe you either!
I don't think either of us have much choice. These magic chains are stronger than steel, and I've been peeing for the last 2 minutes straight. Trixie craned her neck and gave Twilight's horn a lick, sending a small shower of rainbow sparkles off in every direction.
You know, Val, the next time we play Red Flags and somebody plays that one card where it's pees for 5 minutes every 5 minutes, I'm just going to pull this story out.
What is sure. Red Flags?
Red Flags is a card-based game where you try to set your friends up on dates. It's very fun.
Is that a Jackbox game or a...
No, it's an actual card game.
Oh, I want to play that.
Oh, go ahead and get it. It's available. Right. It's available in many online retailers. Tail reelers, yes.
Such as Amazon.com?
Not doing it. Not doing the pitch today.
No, do it.
Don't do it.
They come in kid sizes.
Don't do it. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Does it come in kid sizes?
No.
He did the gag, folks. He did the gag. We're released for the day.
No, you're not.
There. That should do it now. I should do it. Now, if you wouldn't mind, the great and powerful Trixie invites you to a good long bath.
It's the grateful.
The grateful and powerful Trixie. Fuck. Hold on.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
What, David?
If you want to read the gospel according to Shrek, open your Bible to Psalm. Buddy once told me.
Fuck you, David.
Wonderful.
Oh, my God. All right. With perfume and bath bombs, Twilight asked, hopefully, a smile creeping across her face. Is there any other kind? Well, now, I'm so relieved you two could come to an agreement so quickly. Rarity put her whip away. I don't think we'll be needing the, special toys. Aw, I had just fetched them from your bedroom, Mistress Rarity, Spike said, entering the scene in a bright, rimp, red gimp suit and pushing a trolley full of plus-sized bad dragon dildos.
Yep, this was definitely written by somebody who listens to our goddamn show.
Yep.
Downing the bottle for this. And this is not a bottle meant for single serving size, by the way.
Oh, boy. Fucking...
Government warning. Bad dragon dildos should be avoided at all costs.
Government warning. No, they shouldn't. Why do you need all these vibrating clubs? Anyway, everybody stared at him. Then they all broke out into laughter. He slipped over the spreading puddle of Twilight's tinkle. Several weeks after Rarity met the two of I know. That's why I restarted the sentence.
There,
also,
is that
quit
better?
Referring me. Quit referring me, Logan. It's Steve-O.
That's not Sean. What my voice Sean. Sounds like.
I'm sorry. Shush.
Logan, I don't understand why you're getting all mad at David when he's yelling.
What? I'm not mad.
Wait. That
several weeks later, Rarity met the two of them at her front door, next sticking through the of jar opening. Well, now, and to what do I owe this visit? She inquired with an air of fluster.
Next up is Sean being refereed by me.
Oh, we're just looking for help in our latest magical misadventures,
Twilight said, rolling her eyes as Trixie nuzzled her neck and ears.
The Cutie Mark Crusaders accidentally unleashed a curse that makes mares' crotch boobs grow to massive sizes.
No!
What the fuck is a crotch boob?
A boob on your crotch, duh.
Yeah, as in, instead of a vagina or a penis, you just have a massive mammary gland.
Horses, the mammary glands on horses are near their crotch.
Rarity raised an eyebrow in disbelief.
Well, really now? You bet, Trixie responded. You should see Fluttershy. She's trapped on top of her own boobs, whimpering and squealing.
Rarity got a good laugh out of that. Ha, 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 ha. Before turning serious again.
Well, ladies, much as I would very much like to join your little escapade, I'm awfully afraid I've got to work that'll keep me quite busy here. Toodles!
And without another word, she magically slammed the door shut, locking the now lovers outside to ponder their next move. Leaning against the heavy wooden door, Rarity let out a sigh and opened her bladder, savoring the warm sensation of her urine slowly seeping out into the paddle.
Padding, not paddle! What do you think this is? We're up shit creek anyways!
Ooh. Out into the padding of her diaper.
Oh, Spike!
Tilda.
Sure that Twilight and Trixie were well gone by now.
I do believe your mistress has had another little accident.
Tilda. Instantly, Spike was there in his adorable little maid outfit, already setting out the changing mat and unpacking his diaper bag as he pecked her on the cheek.
Don't worry, Mistress Rarity. You can always count on me to take good care of your every need.
Oh, yeah? Well, I need you to increase my stock portfolio.
She noted with approval the large bulge in the front of his uniform. Her pissy pony pussy, yearning for more of that hot dragon dick.
All I need is you, Spike, and diapers.
Also, oxygen, sustenance, a place to call home.
Oh, we can blame Grass Dragon for this?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
No, don't ban him!
I will ban everyone
you
until it's over.
No. What do you mean until it's over? So you don't want anybody listening to us doing this shit?
No, I'm going to ban myself so I don't have to listen to it.
You have to go to work anyways.
Well, not yet.
All right.
I can get one more reading.
Okay. Well, next up is... I don't know. Are we cool with incest tonight?
I mean, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. No, we're traversing down this, so yeah, why not?
All right, well, here, let's ruin another franchise. Let's ruin Reboot.
I've never watched
nobody
Reboot,
fucking
actually.
Gives a shit about Reboot, so
I mean,
okay.
I care,
I like Reboot.
Sort of.
Of course least, you like Reboot, Val. It's
no.
Canadian.
It is Canadian.
But then,
the only thing I know about Reboot is Scott McNeil and the creators of Reboot were also the animators of the Dire Straits Money for Nothing music video.
Also, wait a minute. If by that logic that Val cares about anything Canadian, that means she cares about Pinocchio 3000, which she categorically does not.
I don't know what that is, but
she
definitely
so much
cares
about
it.
That's why she... That's why she does it.
This is Rebooty Call by D-Manged or D-Manged. And first up is going to be Val being refereed by Sean.
Oh, wait, I'm reading?
Yes.
Yeah. Story codes. Incest, bro / cis, oral. HTTPS something something show story something something Rebooty Call .txt. Reboot. Rebooty Call by D-Manged. Funky ibex at AOL.com. Man, that's an old address.
Everybody email this person.
No, don't.
Yeah.
Dear ass face.
From the first line, I'm guessing it's when he was still a kid. Enzo Matrix flew his zipboard into Dot's diner, knocking binomes to the right and left as he careened through the doorway, finally collapsing in a heap in one of the boots. Luckily, the boots on the occupant was Bob the Guardian, Enzo's friend and mentor, so he didn't mind having a hyperactive kid thrown at his lap. Bob, you're going to see my new application. It's awesome. It's cool. It's major. Enzo babbled, talking a mile a minute. Whoa, Enzo, don't go all random on me, Bob chuckled. I'm sure it's a great program, and I'd love to check it out with you later. I've got to work on my car. That's it, my car. Catch you in a microsecond, Bob said, quickly exiting Dot's diner. Wonder what his malfunction is, Enzo said to his sister Dot as she came around the corner. Counter. Whoops. Don't worry about him, Dot says.
The band?
I said this then fully. He's probably just off on some guardian business, fixing tears or whatever. Never mind, Enzo. She continued, taking off his baseball cap and ruffling his hair. I'll go check out your new app with you. How's that?
Next up is going to be Logan, refereed by David.
Durr.
Enzo jammed the red baseball cap back on his head, blushing olive drab. He hated to go anywhere without it on. It had his Reboot badge on it.
And he didn't really want to go anywhere with Dot just now. He wasn't mad at his big sister or anything. It's just that lately, as he'd been growing, being around Dot made him feel kind of funny. Her pale green skin, the sexy jet black hair cut in a cute short style, her stunning, gravity-defying boobs, and then there was her ass.
Yeah.
Enzo had only recently started noticing such things. But Dot's ass was truly alphanumeric.
What?
Alphanumeric. It's the thing that they say in the show.
Is it?
Yes.
Yep. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've watched Reboot.
Round, tight, so rock solid it looked like you could bounce a microchip off of it. And that chip would bounce a mile afterward, begging to be squeezed, groped, manhandled, penetrated. Mind of these dirty thoughts. Dot was his own sister, for crying out loud. He decided he'd better play it cool around her. It wouldn't do for her to notice how horny she was making him. Business as usual, Enzo thought. That's the move.
Awesome! Enzo replied, feigning enthusiasm. It's over at Fong's! Let's go!
Well, Dot mused, I guess I'm due for a break. Leaving the diner in the capable hands of Cecil,
her electronic Mater D. She jumped on a zip board and took off for Fong's with Enzo close behind. He stayed behind her all the way downtown, mainly so he could keep his eyes plastered on her curvaceous ass as she leaned and gyrated to control the airboard. Goodbye.
Oh no, he's leaving forever.
I'm not leaving.
Well, we will soldier on. Have a good night, Logan.
Good night.
Bye-bye, good night, Logan. We love you.
Next See up you is here. Going to be me being refereed by... Oh, wait, he's gone. Shit.
Ha! The force is broken.
Well, next up is going to be me refereed by David, then.
Aw, man.
As they rounded the last corner with Fong's ball-shaped rooftop apartment in sight, a booming yet feminine voice filled the air. Warning! Incoming game! Warning! Incoming game!
That's not what it sounds like.
A large flickering cube filled with purple lightning began to descend on two square city blocks, including the one Enzo and Dot were riding through. Slightly annoyed by the delay, Enzo was nonetheless curious as to what the new game would be. Mario Kart on Switch? Horizon Zero Dawn?
Why would it be Horizon Zero Dawn? That's a single player game.
Ah, I mean, can't you play single player games on a computer too?
No. Everybody knows you only play multiplayer games on the PC.
it's
yeah, even Baldur's Gate is multiplayer.
It's Final Fantasy 13.
Yes, that's multiplayer, because you have to play as Hope and someone else.
Slightly annoyed by the delay, Enzo was nonetheless curious about what the new game would be. They were always different and always challenging. The user had good taste in games, and he knew it would be something radically cool. So are we assuming the user in this case is going to be David?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to whatever game is put in here, all right?
All right. Fucking Wispy Woods.
It's Yandere Simulator.
I'm with it.
Dot and Enzo were abruptly thrust into an environment that was as far removed from the familiar scenery of Mainframe as possible. Gone were the lush greenery and immaculate clean streets. Instead, this looked like some sort of bombed-out post-riot ghetto. It reminded Enzo of Hexadecimal's Creepy Island compound, Lost Angles. But here everything was dirty, covered in garbage and graffiti. The place even smelled bad. It was like nowhere he'd ever seen before. Hesitantly, both Dot and Enzo pressed their black and white badges, both giving the command, "Reboot!" at the same time. Instantly, the pair were bathed in twin light streams. Enzo gasped. Dot had vanished. Maybe the object of this particular game would be to find her. That is, the character she was playing. Looking down at himself, Enzo was further astonished. He was now fully grown, a huge gorilla of a man with a torn t-shirt and jeans and some sort of bandana around his head. Next up is David, refereed by Sean.
He's a gorilla with a bandana. What?
A huge gorilla of a man.
He's a gorilla of a man.
Yes.
Oh, with a bandana.
Yes. So...
Is he playing like... Enzo rubbed his chine, noticing the scratchy stubble had appeared there. His outfit looked familiar to him. He had seen this character before. He thought hard. Was this a game he heard about? I don't know why. Whatever. Across the garbage-strewn street, he could see three rough-looking types, kind of like how he looked now, carjacking an innocent driver, throwing him bodily to the curb.
Well, David, real question. Are you struggling because you're not drinking alcohol?
I might be.
Okay, can you go get some alcohol?
No, I don't have any alcohol.
Shit.
Driving off in his car. Enzo gasped. This was not typical game behavior. Not gas. At least not in any of the games.
David!
He had...
David!
Blood. David!
Right. David! He didn't say gasp.
Yeah, he did.
It's oh, gaped.
He gaped. Oh God!
And
no.
He can't even use it as an excuse anymore that his headset is broken.
No, true. You're right. Anyway, a light went off in his head. He had heard of this game. It was called Grand Theft Auto San Anselmo, or something like that. It had been outlawed in Mainframe due to excessive violence and sexual content. So Enzo had never had a chance to play it. All his school friends were dying to play it, and here he was, an actual game character. Goodness! But where was Dot? A motorcyclist was idling at a stoplight near him. Enzo had a sudden urge to knock him off his bike and steal it.
It must be a GameCube. Enzo went right along with his character's programming. It was never a good idea to fight a game once you were in it. So Enzo roughly shoved the startled round by Binome? Okay, that's the fucking square dudes, right?
Well, round in this case.
Well, yeah okay, whatever. Knocked Ryder off his hog and jumped on, gunning the engine once before, peeling out in a squeal of rubber. The angry Binome shook his fist and said something rude and basic. But Enzo was already taillights down the highway. Cruising around the dirty, poverty-stricken neighborhoods, Enzo was astonished at what he was seeing. Gang fights, muggings, even, was occurring all around him. He almost had his bike stolen 3 times in 10 minutes.
David, could you not say that word?
I don't know. I can, but I don't want to.
Well, I mean, that's his prerogative. It's against his religion. Next up is Sir Splee being refereed by Val.
Oh boy, it's Sir Me.
I was playing Sly Cooper last week on the show. That was fun.
See? Yes. Stop playing games while we do the show, David!
I said last week.
Yes, and you're playing stuff this week too.
What am I playing, Steve?
You tell us. You know. We don't.
I'm not playing anything at the moment.
What are you switching to?
Nothing.
Is that Eeyore in a Speedo?
Yes.
It's pretty buff, not gonna lie.
Yes. Anyway, luckily, Enzo was a master at any game he played, and soon found himself fitting right in, seeming to naturally know what to do in any situation, no matter how violent. He scanned the littered streets as he drove, looking for Dot, Bob, heck, even Mike the TV. Obnoxious as he was, would have been a welcome and a familiar sight. As the game was moving into nighttime mode, Enzo continued searching. While slowing to go around a corner, he heard someone call him. Hey, biker! Screeching to a halt, he looked around behind him. Standing on the corner in front of a seedy tavern called Lane's Bar, a seemingly familiar figure was calling to him. It was Dot. But rebooting had changed her even more drastically than Enzo. Instead of her usual practical melon-covered jumpsuit and red go-faster stripes, Dot had an outfit on. Dot had an outfit on that would have made her a dead. That would have made a dead man erect. That's rigor mortis.
That's not. That's a lie.
Insanely high white strappy heels with many straps, causing her to lean forward slightly and stick out that perfect ass, tiny frayed Daisy Duke cutoff jeans, a tight white crop top which plainly showed her erect dark green nipples.
I'm not on board with this.
Nice legs, Daisy Dukes, makes a man go whoop whoop.
Yep.
Tons of thick makeup, and to top it off, a cute little ghetto fabulous cowboy hat. How do you make a cowboy hat ghetto fabulous?
With bling.
Have you ever seen I don't know. What is it? I lost my thought.
Missy Elliott? Next song.
Yes, Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott. Hey, you big, tough biker, Dot said it in a cloying little girl voice. Want a date? Enzo had to pick his jaw up off the concrete. Dot's character in-game was obviously a hooker, and she was soliciting him. Obviously, the pre-game programming was so strong that Dot's own personality was completely submerged. All the blood seemed to rush out of Enzo's body, only to reappear in his rapidly growing dick.
Okay.
End page.
Next up is Sean being refereed by me.
And this is a ghetto cowboy hat. Ghetto fabulous, by the way.
Oh, that is pretty damn... That's... All right. That's a thing.
Yes.
Come on, tough guy, Dot continued. I can see that tent you just pitched. Hee 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 hee. Don't you even want some head? I give really great head.
Dot smirked, running her tongue tip around the outside of her lips. Enzo was panicked. On the one hand, he was shocked and a little disturbed to see the normally confident, somewhat square Dot behaving like a randy whore. After all, this was his big sister, who he admired and who had always looked out for him. On the other rapidly winning hand, he'd been fantasizing about fucking her in every way imaginable for a long time now. And under the guise of the game, Enzo might actually get to play out some of his fantasies. Judging by the size of the erection now hardening down his leg, he'd be able to really shag her senseless. The game seemed to have endowed him with a monster wang.
Come on, Don wheeled. I really want it. Or don't you like girls?
Hey, whatever you like is your prerogative, man. We have no judgments here. This is a safe space.
Oh, I like them, all right, Enzo mumbled. Then, as he gained confidence, how much? We'll discuss that later, Tiger. Dot purred.
And suddenly the tiger completely disemboweled her. The end.
Growl. Just like Siegfried and Roy.
Oh.
Taking Enzo by the arm and virtually dragging him into Lane's bar.
I've got a room right upstairs here. It'll do just fine.
Dot continued, practically drooling on Enzo as she pulled him up a flight of stairs at the back of the bar. No one seemed to notice him, aside from a bored glance from the bartender, a number one shaped binome. He gave the appearance of having seen it all before.
Next up is Val being referred by Sean.
Dot opened the door on very tawdry undecorated room. When she pulled the chain onto one bare light bulb hanging in the center of the room, a horde of cockroaches scrambled for shelter. Oh man, that's so romantic. The room was minimally furnished, one chair and one cast iron bed. Cast iron? Oh.
Yeah, she took cast iron.
Yeah. She took Enzo's hand and led him over to the chair. Without being asked, Dot pulled her top off, revealing the firmest pair of tits in mainframe.
What is even going on in David's house?
They were like 30 polygons.
It's Laza whining.
Oh, well, fine. I'll take her out.
Borf.
Enzo's eyes bugged out as his big, made that bigger than he thought. Sister's gorgeous boobs. The nipples seemed to be pointing right at him.
Boing. Ah!
He was in such a daze he hardly heard a computer voice coming from outside the building. Warning, illegal patch. Warning, illegal patch.
Take off that eye patch, it's illegal.
Going back to West Africa, y'all.
Dot sat in the chair, pulling Enzo until he was standing in front of her. She immediately started pulling his jeans down, and since his game character wasn't wearing any underwear, a massive green erection popped out and bonked Dot in the forehead.
Bonk.
She went temporarily cross-eyed, then shook her head, getting a firm grip on Enzo's enhanced member. Dot started licking all over the head, sweating it in saliva with broad swipes of her tongue. Enzo sighed contentedly as a longtime dream came true, his sexy sister giving him a blowjob. He didn't understand how he was able to retain so much of his personality while Dot was so submerged, and he didn't care. He just didn't want her to stop. Dot took a deep breath and then swooped down to half of his exposed dick. She started sucking hungrily, drawing in her cheeks and gripping him with her avid tongue. She began twisting her head from side to side as she went up and down, and her cute little cowboy hat flew off her head towards the doorway. Man, that's a mighty blowjob if your hat flows off and not just falls off.
Next up is me, being refereed by David. Why are we posting the Dragon's fucking cars thing again?
Why not?
I'm okay.
Why not?
I am okay with this. Alright, page 8. Before it could hit the ground, the door opened and a blue hand reached in and grabbed it. Enzo... Shit, what the hell just happened to my Chrome? Oh great, the tab crashed. Hold on. GG, Stevo. Buy better computer parts.
Drink for technical difficulties, everyone.
I am not drinking for technical difficulties. That is not a thing, and it never will be a thing. Enzo looked up to see a large, blue, silver-haired goon entering the room behind Dot's back. He raised
his... goons?
Yeah. He wanted to give him the clamps! He raised his finger to his lips, motioning for Enzo to keep quiet. Dot had slowed down her initial frenzied attack on Enzo's dick.
Dick, attack on big dick.
And now was bobbing her head slowly and deliberately as she got into giving head. The blue goon came up behind Dot, taking off his clothes as he came. Enzo tried to focus through the lust-filled haze he was in. Dot's incredible oral technique was making it hard to concentrate. Was this blue guy the user? What was he doing? The blue guy abruptly yanked Dot's chair out from under her, pulling her legs up and up till she was straddling him with her legs stretching behind her. This sounds complicated. She never once broke her lip lock on Enzo's dick.
As the new lip lock.
Yeah. It's not. It's one of those locks you have to unlock in fucking Oblivion. Only it's a penis.
It's a hold in wrestling.
As she slurped loudly, as she slurped on it loudly and lovingly. How do you slurp loudly and lovingly? That's not. And in between, you just hear "I love you," just muffled by the penis. Holding onto Dot by her waist, the stranger began dragging her Daisy Dukes off. Not surprisingly, Dot wasn't wearing any panties. Holding her legs apart, the blue dude was trying to work his massive erection into her cunt from behind. Dot oohed and ahed around her mouthful of cock.
No, it's a ooh.
Wiggling in midair as she tried to assist the stranger's entry into her dripping snatch. She also increased her suction on Enzo's member, trying to get it down her throat. Enzo opened his eyes with difficulty and tried to stop grunting. He thought he knew this guy, Next up is David being refereed by Sean.
He thought he knew this guy. Burn it down, 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 burn it down. I don't know why I went into Spanish casual magic, but whatever. Bob, he almost whispered, is that you? The guy shook his head negatively.
Just shook.
That's what I said, just shook his head negatively and kept jabbing his rigid shafted Dot sheath, eventually going in with a loud slithering noise. Enzo could hardly speak, and he didn't repeat the question. Look, everybody's furry for Renamon, all right?
I was furry for Carmelita Fox.
Who isn't, right? It's like Carmelita, Crystal, and Renamon. That's the trifecta of furrydom.
No, what's her name? Cassie from SWAT Cats.
Callie Briggs is
the radical choice. Squadron.
What does that even mean?
Also, I would watch Twat Cats.
Now on Wood Rocket.
David.
Sorry, I'm watching the SWAT Cats intro.
Not surprised.
It's very, like...
Still, nobody knows what the Radical Squadron even means. He grabbed Dot's head tightly with both hands and began a frantic skullfuck of his sexy sister. The blue guy started pumping harder, too, driving his formidable erection deeply into Dot's tight I.O. port. They worked her between them for long minutes, Dot moaning and sighing between them as she was double penetrated. Enzo suddenly gasped, grabbing Dot's head tightly in his hands and shoving his erection completely down her throat as it began coming. He shot spirit after spirit directly into her tummy.
It's tummy. That is like, you're talking about a sex scene and then tummy.
Tummy.
Tummy!
As yelled her firmly by the ears, Dot gulped loudly, trying to swallow every jet of sperm. As soon as Enzo could shoot it, the blue guy, seeing her and hearing her swallow, started pumping hard, almost knocking Enzo down at the other end. Enzo finally stopped coming and let go of Dot's head, pulling out of her mouth with a suctioning slurp as Dot made sure to extract the very last drop of carom from Enzo's pulsing rod. This is not tender at all, by the way.
Nope.
No.
He picked up the discarded chair and sank into it with a sigh. The stranger had put Dot face first onto the grimy bed as he was pile-driving her doggy style, striving for orgasm. Now that Enzo was a little less agitated, he studied the man closely. It really could be Bob. It was hard to tell since everyone looked so different in the game. He had Bob's coloring, though.
Next up is Sir Splee being refereed by Val. Apparently, hey. Kickstarter had SWAT Cats Revolution, but they've hit a whole bunch of snags.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, wow. 10! Also, apparently, Enzo's character couldn't talk much or do much other than get blowjobs from hookers. He seemed...
Wow, that's totally not a glorious NPC life right there.
He seemed to have as little willpower as Dot to control in his game character. The blue dude grunted as he began spraying a huge stream of cum into her throbbing pussy. Dot sighed deeply as she felt the hot cum running inside her pussy walls. Before she could recover, the stranger pulled her reboot badge off of her chest. Now Dot couldn't return to her normal original self, not without the badge. The stranger instantly vanished in the beam of light, just as the almost asleep Enzo heard "Game over, game over" from the voice in the sky. He sleepily pressed his badge, now on its bandana, and said, "Reboot!" A warm light enveloped him as he fell asleep. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Enzo awoke, very refreshed and in his normal clothes, in a booth in Dot's diner. He was also back into his normal size.
I'm not erect. Is anybody here erect? Any single person here erect?
Well, I'm watching the SWAT Cats intro again, so...
I mean, yeah. I've got a bit of a job, so... He kind of wished his cock had stayed as big as the game characters, but you couldn't have everything. He was just a kid again, but with some great memories of his stunning sister going down on him, Enzo gazed wistfully out through the diner window. Cecil, the maitre d', floated over. Would Monsieur want to order something? I'll have an isotope float with Everett. Enzo trailed off as the front door of the diner opened with a bang. It was Bob the Guardian, and Dot was with him. But something was wrong.
I don't even want to look at who's next on the list. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Sean, you're being refereed by me.
She was still in that outrageous hooker outfit. Apparently, without her badge, she was stuck as the hooker game character. Hey, big boy.
No, I want your sultry hooker voice, Sean.
Hey, big boy.
Higher. An octave higher.
Hey, big boy.
That sounds painful and not what I'm asking for at all.
Hey, big boy.
Yeah, closer to what Val has.
Hey, big boy.
That's it on the fucking mark.
The bimbified Dot purred. You look familiar. How about some head? I give really great head, she said.
Next time I see Sean in real life is going to be really fucking awkward.
Well, the last update to SWAT Cats Revolution was April 7th.
Yeah, so they're still updating people. Stuff. It's still happening. It's just snags.
So wait, Steve, are you gonna say you're going to give great head to Sean? Is that what's going to go on?
Well, we give great head to Sean regardless, so...
I definitely won't say no. She said, running her tongue around her teeth invitingly, without waiting for an answer. Enzo's slutty sister dropped to her knees and crawled under the little booth counter table. Enzo could feel her tugging at his pants, quickly removing them. Then she was pulling down his underwear, and he could feel her cool fingers dragging out his slowly hardening member.
Bob?
Enzo was sputtering.
It was you! What are you doing? What's going on?
He sighed as he felt Dot's hot mouth slowly sinking around his aching hard-on. He tried to listen to Bob, but Dot was beginning her trademark bobbing motion. It felt so good.
so good!
Well, Enzo, Bob said smugly.
Thanks, McCree!
Well, Enzo.
I wasn't going for McCree, but I love this.
Sperm.
No.
Step right up and suck on my cock.
Bob said smugly as he noticed Enzo's reaction. I was tired of Dot always acting so superior, so super efficient. So I paid a visit to the supercomputer and got the user to input this rad new game with a little something extra in an illegal downloadable patch that turns a game with just some suggestions of sex into a full-blown, pardon the pun, sex simulation.
Didn't Joe Lieberman would be sick. Sick, I tell you.
Also, Tipper Gore.
And that other guy, fucking...
Jack Thompson?
Johnny Unitas.
It's a sex simulator!
Didn't you love it?
No, don't I don't love it.
Don't you think Big Sis is better this way?
No! All right.
It's crusterific, but is my lips supposed to be bleeding this badly, Johnny Unitas?
They put the hot coffee mod into this game.
Probably.
That's what I'm getting. Like, that's all I can see it is, the hot coffee mod.
All right, Val, you're up being refereed by Sean. All
right.
And I think this is actually the end of the episode here. Yay!
Okay. I wish.
It is. We don't have anything else after this.
Oh, really? This is the only two
fixes? This is the last one. We don't have enough time for the other one.
Okay, good.
All right. Enzo groan.
Wait, aren't you supposed to say just a little bit after that?
No, it's ooh-ah.
Oh, not
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. A little bit more.
Yeah. Enzo groan. Dot was speeding up her sucking movements and humming some song, too. The vibrations were making Enzo's head swim. His sister's technique was awesome. Coolness. Alphanumeric.
Reaganomics.
Stop watching The Simpsons, Dave.
Never.
Yeah, Bob continued.
All right, Dave. No watching or playing anything.
What? You don't own me.
Yes, I do. I will pay your internet service provider to cut off access to everything but the Discord and Google Docs.
Why not just pay my internet service provider, and I got, like, you know, extra money I keep in a month.
To watch more things and play more things that aren't the show?
Maybe.
Fuck you.
All right. Yeah, Bob continued. I was tired of all that Guardian jazz anyway. Going around fixing tears all day is Dragsville, Dad. So I thought I'll be little Dot Matrix's Pim Daddy. She can make money for me for a change. Then who'll be acting superior, huh? The ex-Guardian said with an evil chuckle. Oh, you? Enzo said. Now, Dot was drastically drawing in her cheek, sucking on Enzo's rod like her life depended on it. Bob saw that Enzo wasn't really paying attention anymore, and with a wicked grin, he slipped underneath the table behind Dot. Enzo couldn't see what was going on, but he heard Bob's voice say, "Glitch! Steely Dan Mark V steam-powered dildonic device!" Steely
what?
Dan? Why is Steely Dan into the...
No idea.
There was a servo motor whir from beneath the table, then Enzo could hear very loud buzzing and hissing. Whatever this device was, it was very big and loud. Enzo sighed, reaching under the table and patting Dot's head like a dog as she serviced him. As she took him into his orgasm, Enzo looked back out the window. Through half-lidded eyes, he saw his overgrown and beloved pet dog, Frisket, coming towards the diner. Probably looking for me, Enzo thought. Dot hummed happily as Enzo began shooting hot streams of cum against the back of her throat with rapid velocity. Mmm, Enzo mused. Maybe Dot and Frisket could play out a little game I just thought of.
Nope.
They heard himself.
0 out of 10. No.
Get Jack Thompson back on the case. Get rid of the everything.
He heard and felt Dot gas around his erection as Bob applied yet another of his magical devices to yet another gash. The end.
Yay!
We did it. It wasn't terrible.
It was
pretty damn terrible, not gonna lie.
I had no
That was very disappointing,
with it.
And I'm very disappointed in all of you.
Disappointed.
Thank you, David, Sean, Logan, who's not here, but so we will never hear this. Val, who showed up late, but thank you for coming, and our guest.
Well, I had
late.
Work.
I know you had
she
work.
Had work, Steve. Have yeah. a heart.
I have a heart. I wish I was a Time Lord and had two hearts.
You are welcome.
And we'll catch you all next week because this is what we do with our time.
Hey.